WTLC AM, W224 DI, W236 CR Indianapolis. It's time to discuss the important topics happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby, brought to you by Child Advocates. Your voice, their future. On AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Community Connection. I am Tina Cosby. Today is Wednesday, June the 29th. Boy, June is just sliding right on out of here, about as fast as it came in. Anyway, on our show today, the deadline for free rides to the first night of the Black and Minority Health Fair at IBE's Summer Celebration next month is rapidly approaching. In fact, the deadline is tomorrow, so a little later in the show, we'll tell you what you need to know so that you don't get left behind with those free rides. That's in our second hour. Moments from now, in our first hour, we are hoping and expecting to speak with one of our colleagues here at The Light. Attorney Nathaniel Lee is expected to join us with a heads up on what you'll need to know starting day after tomorrow, July the 1st. Again, that's just a few moments from now, moments away. But right now, let's bring in our contributing analyst, James Patterson. Hi, James.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm good. Are you out of breath?
Well, I'm not out of breath, but I'm so glad it is June 29th because June is getting out of here and we'll get to July and we'll get to hopefully more 80-degree days.
Well, what's the weather? We'll give you your weather up. You know, let's have your weather report right about now. What do you got?
Well, we'll have one of them today. We're already in the lower 80s. We're going to go to the mid to upper 80s.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it'll get to 90 degrees because the humidity is really low and the air is real dry. I could be mistaken, but I would say no, will be the mid to upper 80s today. Kind of pleasant, kind of warm. Our problem is rain because we have like a 3-inch rain deficit for the month, and everybody's yards and all the crops and everything need rain. So we're hoping for a little bit of that this weekend. There should be some spotty showers coming up, but just a pleasant summer day, kind of day I like. Take it easy, chill, as they say. You know, everybody, chill out. Don't get too excited about things and. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we all are. The 4th of July weekend, though, that's coming up.
It is.
It'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that's going to be. What's the old saying? Hotter than the 4th of July?
Hotter than the 4th of July. Hotter than a firecracker.
Hotter than a firecracker.
It's, you know, the temperature is supposed to ramp up over the next 4 or 5 days. Like I said, we have these isolated chances for showers, but man, we really need some water. But it's going to be nice. It's going to be so dry, people need to be really careful if they're using those fireworks because you can set up a structure or certainly a field ablaze really quickly, Tina, as dry as it is, fooling around with those fireworks.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't think about that, James.
I said, I know they don't. I have one neighbor, and she was complaining to me about one of her neighbors, which shall remain anonymous, who shoots off firecrackers just about every holiday, and particularly in the summer. And the fireworks remnants, you know, the paper, you know, Tina, that is left from bottle rockets and all those the ones that they shoot up in the sky, the rockets and stuff, lands on her roof, and she is just really livid about that. But is that what were you kind of thinking about fireworks?
I was thinking about the fire hazard, especially when you've had a dry spell. Just something a lot of people don't think about. I mean, we've been taught since we were little, no matter what, to always have a pitcher, they call it a pitcher of water. Always have water on hand when you're shooting them off to douse if any of them happen to get away or, just an unintended, unintended consequence, I guess, whatsoever. Just in case. But that water becomes even more important when everything around you is so dry.
Yeah. Because it's really dry this year.
Yeah, so that's all we really need. But As I was saying on the show today, James, the Black Minority Health Fair, one of the largest, the largest of its kind in the nation. It's certainly the oldest, the longest running, and I would dare say the most successful, which is always held at IBE Summer Celebration. The Indiana State Department of Health puts it on. One of the things that there's so many components that have been added to the health fair, including free rides for people who might have a hard time getting there, especially on the night that's set aside for seniors and people with disabilities. So, so we're gonna talk about that. They are available this year, but you have to register and you have to basically reserve your ride, you know, for your spot.
You were talking about, I heard you the other day a little bit, and you were mm-hmm. talking about how much free health care that one mm-hmm. person could get, how much in value a screening would be for a senior or anybody who goes down there, just free. Mm-hmm. How much is that value? That's quite a valuable asset to be able to go down there and get your blood pressure checked, lots of medical screenings that occur. How much is that worth?
Well, I mean, I think that there needs to be another assessment in terms of the worth. They've been saying $2,500 worth of free health screenings now for the last 5 years at least, maybe longer.
Yeah.
And
that's
just out of date. It just is. I mean, it costs you $2,500 worth of gas to get down there. So.
With
inflation
and everything.
With inflation, adjusted for inflation. But just simply the cost of health care and access. I think they have been so committed to keeping this, not only keeping the health fair going, but keeping the health fair at Summer Celebration mm-hmm. because of the access. And, from populations that aren't normally, that don't have as good of an access as some of the others that aren't normally well served, all of those things, roll into it. And so, you got to say, I mean, I told Antoinette I wouldn't be opposed to say $5,000 worth of, because, with just one test now, James, one screening.
Astronomical.
They do their dental screenings, breast screenings, HIV, this one stop, one stick. So there's lab processing. There's all kinds of things that are taking place. By the way, for anything that you need blood for, you don't have to get a blood draw every time that you want that test to be done. You just do it once. And then they found a creative way, a one stop, one stick. So I wouldn't be, but I'm not in charge. But I'm saying I know for a fact it's more than $2,500,
and it has been well documented the deficit of health care that Black and minorities face. It reminds me, and not to pick on IU, but that doctor who died out there at IU, putting on social media how the care she was receiving, in her view, she's a doctor, and she was, in care there, and unfortunately died, eventually. And she talked about the deficit in health care for mm-hmm. Black and minorities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anyway, Antoinette, being the loving and caring person that she is, wanted to get on. She's got another segment scheduled for next month as well, but she wanted to get on before the end of this month to remind folks that the deadline to reserve your ride is tomorrow. So, there's that. There's we've got that. So anyway, we're going to be talking to her. We're also going to be talking with, a regular right here on the light. I mean, for a number of years, I mean, he can tell us how many years, but a number of years, he has been hosting the Saturday morning show, Legal Issues of the Day, with attorney Nathaniel Lee. So,
I think it's called Legally Speaking, is that right? Legally Speaking, I think, but I might be wrong.
Is it Legally Speaking? Oh, okay.
I don't know, but that's what
Let me look. He could let us know. I thought it was Legal Issues of the Day, but maybe that was a hot thing. Legally Speaking with attorney Nathaniel Lee. You are probably right. Let me see. Let me get that here.
I might be. No, I mean, I'm not saying I'm right. That's just the last thing I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I heard it was... Legally Speaking, there's no big deal. I'm just saying what he does, good work over there.
He does great work
breaking down legal issues, mm-hmm. which you know, is an important service to the community.
Light legal, fascinating lead with Nathaniel Lee. Legally speaking, sounds good. We have a caller that has a question about the health fair. Go ahead, Tiffany. Go ahead. How are you?
Hi there. My question is: do they will they offer one allergy testing of any sort?
That is a very good question. You know what? I don't want to say. I don't want to say. No, but I think that they do have something along those lines.
We could ask Ms. Holt.
Yeah, and when Antoinette gets here, we'll certainly ask her. Yeah.
Okay, and my other question is, will they offer people their, letting them know their blood type? Because I know a ton of people, because they haven't had any issues where they've had to really have blood drawn, they don't know their blood type.
Yeah, they absolutely will let you know your blood type.
Okay.
And you know, basically all you have to do is just ask and just ask.
Okay. That's great. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well I'll try to
Do you know your blood type?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good. Yeah. I was one of those people you're talking about that didn't. I don't know. I got it.
For the longest, I didn't, and unfortunately, you know, I had to experience some health issues where I had to see a hematologist on a regular, and so that's the only way I actually found out.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know that enough people feel the need to even know that. Really, unless something is wrong or something has been pointed out, yeah, I don't know that enough people do feel the need to know that. That's a good point. But, yeah, there's no doubt that they will let you know what your blood type is.
All righty. Okay. Thanks
all right.
So much.
Thank you, Tiffany. Appreciate it. Yeah, and, you know, as we
that
said, pardon?
Tina, that minority health fair, that is really, really important. For the community.
It's a bomb. Yeah,
I like the work that you guys do on that every year.
Yeah,
it's really a huge part of the summer celebration.
It is. It's one of the top draws. Just a huge component of the summer celebration, and again, it runs from that Thursday through that Sunday, and they have a lot of special attractions. Like I've said, adding different things each year. They've added self care. This year that Antoinette talks about, where people can go and get a massage. I have never had what you call, one of those massage things. You know, they have those chairs and the people there that are massaging your neck. And I've never done that. And not so sure that I do want to do that.
Yeah, me either. I mean, I think I had one time. Somebody gave me one.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I like. Save money for or put money out for. But some people think that they are, you know, that they're really valuable.
And our as soon as he is available, as soon as he can break free, he is a busy man. So hopefully he'll break free soon. But attorney Nathaniel Lee, and he on his show this weekend, he is going to be talking about all of the laws that go into effect on Friday. Well, wait a minute. Today,
yeah, this is you're right, Tina.
25th,
July 1st.
Yeah. Well, he was going to be talking about that, and he wants to continue. He's doing I think what's called a series, and so he wanted to share with us because he feels in a lot of ways that. There are a greater probability of problems, including death and arrest, for African Americans, a greater probability of all of these things for African Americans. So we're going to find out more on what he has to say about that and what he's going to continue to talk about on his show. And the fact that he is an attorney doesn't hurt either. I mean, he knows a lot of these things. So, you know, we're looking forward to talking with with Attorney Lee. So, James, boy, were you following any of the hearing yesterday? That surprise hastily had called hearing yesterday.
Yeah,
in Capitol
yeah,
Hill.
It was. And, yeah. Just a footnote on what you just said. I believe he's going to Attorney Lee is going to focus on that gun, that open carry weapons without
constitutional
the law.
Yeah, the constitutional carry.
So we're. But I was following it, and here's my take on that. Just real briefly before he gets here, and that is that Cassidy Hutchinson, the aide to White House chief. Mark Meadows. Tina, that's the John Dean of the January 6th hearings.
So she's been called. I've heard that.
Yes. I mean, she just really opened the door to more investigation. Now, nobody can be charged right now, but I do believe there's quite a bit of liability from President Trump on down, particularly Meadows, his attorney, John Eastman, and there are some others. Actually, Liz Cheney, Representative Liz Cheney, who's the vice chair on the committee, on the January 6th committee, put forth evidence at the end of the hearing in which it could lead to possibly charges of witness tampering. She, you know, I mean, they're not showing all their cards, but she put forth emails without saying who it came from and to who it was going, really in a subtle way threatening witnesses, saying, you know, you got to be a team player, you know what to say, your deposition is tomorrow. I mean, that kind of stuff is like mob related. It's like a Godfather thing. Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that a little more, but I do believe our first guest has arrived, Attorney Nathaniel Lee. Attorney Lee, how are you?
I'm doing great. So glad to participate, and thanks for inviting me today.
Well, thank you for being with us. Your show is called Legal Issues of the Day, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Legal Issues of the Day, and you apparently are running a series of very important informational shows regarding the new laws that are going into effect day after tomorrow. So tell us a little bit about that and why you felt so compelled to do so.
Well, first of all, thanks again for inviting me. When we look back 20, 25 years ago, Indianapolis would typically have about 70 homicides per year. Now, we had that many in 2.5 months. And so what has occurred is that we have a proliferation of young men shooting other young men in our city. For the most part, there are some domestic, but there's just a horrific number of these shooting. Some end in homicide, but the majority of shooting do not. And so the shootings by themselves are not widely reported. Now, why this is important? Indiana, Republican-controlled legislators passed House Bill 1296. It repealed the law that requires people to obtain a license to carry a handgun in Indiana. What this means is that people who are not otherwise prohibited from carrying a possession of a handgun, like, for example, a convicted felon, or there's if you've been convicted of domestic violence like battery or stalking and been committed to a mental institution, those are the type of people that are prohibited. But the problem is there's no way to determine whether or not a person who's carrying a handgun meets any of those criteria. The reason being is now we have open carry, and we have the probability that we will have an increase in gun violence in our city. And so this was ill-conceived law, and the police officers were all against this law. And the reason being is that it put them at greater risk. So what we tried to do was try to deal with situational meetings with police or law enforcement prevent the encounter from being a deadly issue.
So I understand that you feel as if this is creating a greater probability of death by police officers and citizens, and that that African Americans are just far more likely to be caught up in that dynamic.
That's accurate. Statistically speaking, in our city, our state, our country, you have a chance 4 to 5 times black male being shot by a police officer versus a white male. And so, in represents some strange type encounters, and we were trying to cover situational things that occur. The number one thing, though, that I must tell people to do is do the basic before you drive your car. Check your taillights. Make sure your vehicles are registered. If you're going to carry a gun, I think it's a bad idea to carry your weapon in your glove box with your registration and driver's license. I think it's a bad idea.
And why?
Well, we had a dispute about this between the experts because one expert thought that you should announce before you open your glove box to a police officer that you have a weapon and that well, first of all, when you're approached by a police officer doing a typical stop in the daytime, so daytime, you're stopped by a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
How do you best handle the encounter where it does not result in a fatality, which we see happens a lot? Then the police expert determined that what you should do is show your hands, and then when the officer presents themselves to the car, they ask for license and registration, that you tell them that you have a gun and in your glove box, and so you don't want them to be alarmed. And what do you want them to do? Well, I just think that I didn't agree with that because I thought that the cases I've had, the person ended up being shot and killed when they did that. And so I thought the better approach is that if you carry a gun, put it in the trunk of your car, lock it up. And your license and registration, you can present that, and I would not tell the police officer in my personal situation to have a loaded gun, because that means the first thing they're going to do is take their gun out, and if you do any false movement, then you get shot, and guess what? They have immune from lawsuit and criminal liability.
Interesting. So one of the other things that I understand you to say is that during your during your time as an attorney, that this is the most significant legislation that we have experienced regarding human safety. I'm assuming you're talking about right here in the state of Indiana?
Yes. See,
the most significant legislation regarding human safety, yeah.
Yeah, what alarmed me is that I went to a gas station recently, and, of course, you're alarmed at the rising cost of fuel every day.
Mm-hmm.
But what caught my attention was that at the gas station, the three people I observed, they all had sidearms. They had big pistols. And I was alarmed by that, quite frankly. I was the only guy at the gas station who got a loaded gun. Now, think about that. With the in America now,
mm-hmm.
we have more mass shooting than everybody in the whole world combined.
Right.
We're on pace to have over 450 mass shootings in America this year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what do? You have folks who are carrying loaded weapons all around you. Which one of those persons is a psychopath? Which one of that person is...
Yeah, which one? And I have to concur, Attorney Lee, because I've seen... people just out at the grocery store with these huge weapons attached to their strap, full view, and I can't concentrate, I can't focus, because these weapons are so fully displayed, and it's a tough one. Attorney Lee, let's see, we've got a tweet, and then there's a couple of folks that have some questions for you. Brother Imatep on Twitter says, Tina, ask Attorney Lee about blacks being stopped and frisked walking down the street legally armed. Does he expect an uptick in stop and frisk for blacks? Do you expect that? Thank you, Brother Imatep, for the tweet.
Well, I can't speak for the police department,
mm-hmm.
but... In my experience of doing excessive force type cases, the number one thing that I've encountered, because I've taken depositions on police officers that went for 2 days,
mm-hmm.
and the number one concern I have is that I'm dealing with an issue of fear. Traditionally, we hired officers in our cities who weren't from the cities, and they don't identify with the diversity a lot of times in the city. And so they're actually afraid of their encounter with African-American males. And so as a result, it doesn't take a lot for that person to take the encounter and escalate it. Mm-hmm. We've had a decrease in those homicides over recent years, but the threat still remains.
Yeah, it does. James, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't know you hadn't completed your thought.
So the issue is that I just think that it depends. If a person is walking down the street with a loaded gun, it's probably going to attract somebody's attention. And I don't understand the mentality of why people think they should publicly display their weapons. I don't get that.
I don't get it either. And like I said, when I see it, I simply lose focus and I can't concentrate because I just, it just throws me into another space. And the first thing I want to do is to get it, because like you say, who's the psychopath? You know, how do you know, right? How do you know that that person displaying it isn't, you just don't know. And like you say, I don't understand the need to show that. Is that, you know, just showing it, is that, I don't know, are you baiting somebody? Are you daring? What are you doing? What are you doing? What's the point? I don't get it. I truly don't get it. But anyway, James, go ahead. You had a question for Attorney Lee.
Yeah, I do. But first of all, I want to say Tina was right, and I was not. And why did I think, Attorney Lee, just real quick, what your show with Phoenix is neither here nor there. I mean, it's not amounts to much, depending on what we're talking about. I mean, compared to what we're talking about. But why did I think your show is called Legally Speaking?
Oh, well, it was originally, I just changed the legal issue of the day because what happened is that we changed the format because I have people throughout all over the country, and so we try to deal with current legal issues. So I was trying
to. Yeah, you just changed it recently.
And then there was another show that kind of took on the name on TLC, so I just altered the name slightly.
Okay, here's my question. Actually, I got real quick. I got a couple of them, but I'm going to try to get them in. So this open carry permitless law that we have now that you and Tina have just been talking about, explain to our listeners, how does the open carry weapons without a permit cause more, in your view, and you've been watching these and reporting these statistics on mm-hmm. black males being shot mm-hmm. by police for many years, mm-hmm. but how could that cause more black males to get shot by police?
Well, that's an excellent question. Let's talk about historically what we're dealing with. In the world, the United States of America is around 3% of the world's population. We're 3% of this multi-billion population universe, right? 6-7 billion, right? We're mm-hmm. 335 million. Well, in that culture, America owns 52% of all private gun ownership in the whole world. We're 3% of the population, yet we have more guns than the rest of the world combined in private ownership. So if you look at cities such as Chicago, I was up there and one Friday evening, they have 47 shootings, 47, you know, which is shocking to me. And so if you get more guns and make it legal to carry more guns, mm-hmm. and people don't use common sense. Yeah. They take the most trivial encounter and become a deadly issue, whether it's $20 or what you said to my girlfriend. I got a case now that it just irks me. Young man got shot in his car 2 months ago in the head through his car from some guy who's got an argument with another guy at some party because somebody said something to his girlfriend. So he started randomly shooting and murders a guy in a car 50 yards away. Mm-hmm. Now, what if we had gun laws that did background check? We had training on how, mandatory training of how to use a weapon. See, most of the people who are shooting guns are not trained. They're, you know, so they don't hit targets and they're randomly shooting, and that could lead to the secondary casualties, like what happened to my client.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point is, the more guns you have, the higher probability you're going to have more fatalities.
Wow. You know, Tina, do we have to take a break? I know we got him late. I just had one last question to ask.
You know what? I will just go ahead and do it at the top. But go ahead. Yeah, because I...
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, this has to do with the question you asked him about proper procedure, because this intrigued me. I actually heard his show when he was talking about that on Saturday, so 11. What you're supposed to do, I mean, every Tina had said she's had to talk with her son. What you're supposed to do when you are pulled over by police. Now, Attorney Lee told us he would put it in a trunk, not even give the police a chance to pull their weapons. And but I want to just relay a story about a friend of mine whose nephew got into kind of an altercation. He wasn't doing anything. He was with his family, had his child in the car, and this fellow, who happened to be white, was just kind of racist towards him, and actually ended up pulling his gun, the white fella, and pulling out his gun, and the young man, the nephew of my friend, if he did not have his weapon there in the front part of the car, he said his family, all of them, could have been shot by this guy who was just crazy. I mean, he was mad because he was in a nice car and just, you know, kind of baiting him, and he wasn't doing anything. So what's the real answer? Is there an answer here? Do you carry it in your trunk, in your glove compartment?
Well, you know, I own lots of weapons because I don't carry them necessarily, but I own them because I was in the military and I was expert marksman, so I just do it for target, right? So here's how I deal with an encounter. Right downtown, there is a subway right near Michigan and I think Alabama. And so they say that there's a crazy guy outside, so I get my sandwich and I head towards my car, and I hear a guy start yelling at me. Hey, blah, 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 blah. And so what I do is I say, how you doing, sir? And I get in my car. And he said, hey, MF, I'm talking to you. And so and I roll my window up, turn my car on, and they proceed to curse more. Blah, 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 blah. And I just pulled off. I laughed it off. Now, from my standpoint, here's a crazy guy who got nothing to live for. I do. And so what you do is just walk away. I mean, I could have beat this guy up. I mean, I know martial art. I could protect myself. I got a gun, I guess. I could shoot him. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm just going to walk away. Why do I need to have a confrontation with somebody? I just ignore him. Mm-hmm. His words can't harm me.
Mm-mm.
Action can harm you, but not words, right? And so what we have to do is de-escalate by ignoring words. Just walk away. And that's the best solution, and avoid confrontations.
Yeah. Ron, you have a question for Attorney Lee. How are you, Ron?
Yes. Hello, Attorney Lee and Tina and everyone else on the show. You all guys know that I love you like always. A couple of days ago, I think it was Ibotep said, never have a conversation with the police. Don't answer anything. Don't say anything. As a gun owner, which I usually keep in my car, and I also have one at my house, I see people with guns, and I'm not usually afraid or bothered by them. You guys forgive me, Kurt. I'm on the phone with the radio station. And as a result of that, but I do have this question. With the upcoming change in the law where you do not have to possess a license or whatever to carry or a permit to carry, I have a friend who was previously arrested for not having a permit. I'm wondering, when the law changes, are they going to look at that retroactively and let people off because they were carrying a gun without any license?
Well, to answer your question, very simple. We've had a sponge for a long time, and we have the best prosecutor we've ever had. So if a person have been convicted of misdemeanors and low-level felonies, you file a petition for expungement, and they would agree to erase your record anyway, both the arrest and the conviction. So there's some limitation, but as a general rule, you could erase your criminal history by simply filing a petition with the court. And they're pretty liberal about that. Because what they found out, statistics showed that, first of all, our penal institution was filled with African-American males.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 80s, when I was vice president of the NAACP, the Marion County Jail had 1,200 inmates, 1,200. 1,148 were black males, 1,148. Mm. So we were 9% of our population in the county, but we were 95% of people in the jail. Mm. So we threatened to sue because it had to do with the way police encounters occurred back then in the 80s. That is that the typical traffic stop involving black males oftentimes ended in an arrest, whereas white males did not. I've even had black corporate executives who would have a fender bender accident. And when you have a fender bender accident, you have to file what is known as the SR-21 within 90 days. That's proof of insurance, right? And most people don't realize that. And so if you have a fender bender accident, even though it's not your fault, your driver's license will be suspended, right? Well, unless you file this form. The form is done by your insurance company, and they're supposed to do it, but they don't always do it. So I've had corporate executives have fender bender accident, and their license becomes suspended. They get pulled over, and they are arrested before they change the law. I would have, in one instance, I had a white male and a black male both stop at the same checkpoint. The black male went to jail, the white guy got sent home in his car driving. And so the laws weren't equally enforced at the time. And that's part of the problem. So the answer is that you get expungement of the record, both the arrest and the conviction.
Yeah. William, you have a question for Attorney Lee.
How are you doing, Ms. Tina?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Hey, William. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a question for Mr. Lee.
Yes, sir.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
The question is, have anybody figured out what type of percentage in the rise of guns that will be on the street once the law goes into effect? The reason I ask the question is because with the gun permit, most of the guns that are on the street is carried by the criminals if they don't have a permit. But without a permit, not necessary to have a permit, the increase of guns being on the street is a possibility that it'll be substantially more. And what I'm afraid of is the gunfight at OK Corral. I was just wondering how does this all transfer to the police having more work to do, and how do they address the fact that the people have a right to carry a gun, even though they are walking down the street with one? You know, they can't take it. They got a right to carry now.
Okay. Okay, so Attorney Lee, several questions rolled into there, but you get the gist of what he's asking. Thank you, William.
Well, he's got some good points, some good salient points. The,
uh-huh.
the answer is we still have a Fourth Amendment, and when I was in law school, the Fourth Amendment meant something. Now we call it been prophylactic. They've eroded it in many ways. You know, the so-called search and seizure, and, you know, it's been eradication of the law. So used to, in order to be searched without a warrant, the officer must have probable cause that the person who you're searching committed a crime in the officer's presence. And but in order to search their car, generally you needed a warrant.
Uh-huh.
Then they made an exception saying that plain view. Now, plain view doctrine has evolved over the years. I'm not a criminal lawyer, but we sue the department. But in essence, when I was telling people that if you had a gun, I would put it in my trunk, we have cases whereby police officers, they pull African-American male, and they search their car. And one of the most disturbing things that I've seen is that we've had a couple recent cases where they have some old pills that are in the glove box, and they get charged with felony for possession of drugs.
Good grief.
I mean, think how ridiculous it is. If you had a narcotic, let's say for a pain pill, it belonged to a friend of yours. You gave him a ride, and they put it in your armrest, and then they left it there. You get pulled over, and the police search your car, and this your friend's pills are in your car. It's a felony. And, you know, it's a dumb law, but I've seen several black males charged with this now, and I'm just disgusted by it. And so we had a difference of opinion in terms of this aspect, too. My thought process is if a person gets stopped and they ask to get out of the car, I say, yes, officer, I would let my window up. I would open the door, let my window up. When I get out of the car, I would lock my car. I will never, ever consent to a voluntary search of my car.
You have the right to do that?
You do. Because the officers say, can I search your car? I would say, officer, no. I will lock my car. And if they then take the keys, then that case gets thrown out because they need a warrant. You know, I'm just sick of seeing these crimes created by folks who are otherwise law-abiding citizens that make simple mistakes. So get back to the first point we talked about. Before you get into your car to travel, do a inventory search of your car.
Yeah.
Make sure your license plate sticker is on because, you know, you have to renew it every year. Make sure that your tail lights are working, your brake lights work. If you have narcotics in your car, don't transport them. Some of the things I see, people have narcotics in their car in plain view, which is a mistake. I'm saying don't do that, but you make the matter worse by leaving it in plain view. And so what we need to do is try to de-escalate situation so we don't have we can reduce this wave of violence that we're dealing with now.
Yeah. James?
Yeah, Tina, I remember we've been talking about this, of people being killed kind of in solitary places, quiet, out-of-the-way places, places that are not populated very well, not well lit. And I don't know, I mean, after we got a call from a person who lived in a community where she said she could definitely verify that there were supremacist groups around here, around Marion County, and they are definitely active. Do you see any, Attorney Lee, any credence to the notion that there could be supremacist sort of almost death squads, you know, trying to catch people, black males particularly, around by themselves and taking them out? Because in a lot of times these cases are unsolved and there's no reason or rhyme for that to happen. Any credence to that at all, or can you imagine that?
Well, my problem right now is that, depending on where you sit, but we have the worst murder resolution rate that I've ever seen. We have, I don't know what the current statistics are, but majority of homicides are not solved here in Marion County. So if we end up with, I don't know, the way we're going, 350 homicides this year, we'll probably resolve less than 75 to 80 or so, or at most 100. So the majority of these homicides are never solved. I just talked to a police officer yesterday, a friend of mine on the force. I represent police officers, too. They're involved in accidents and deaths and things like that. Just they're normal people. And most police officers out there are doing a good job, you know, but there's a lot of bad ones. But, you know, you try to get a middle ground on this, but the bottom line is that since we don't know who's actually committing the homicide, you could speculate, but I have no idea. Yeah. Law enforcement haven't figured that out. And we have these homicides, you know, it's developing. I was looking at the statistic in Philadelphia. I mean, they're going to have, like, what, 700, 800 homicides, and they're only going to solve about 200 of them. Mm-hmm. So we're not alone in that category now.
There's such a low clearance rate when we were once celebrated nationally for having one of the best clearance rates as a city in the country in terms of homicides. Yeah, how quickly things have changed. So Attorney Lee, on your show, and you're going to be dedicating a lot of time to having other legal experts join you to give insight and guidance to listeners concerning matters like police encounters. Is that correct?
Yes, we're going to have to spend time on this because
Yeah, you're gonna go into it on your show, yeah.
Yeah, we keep doing it, and then we also we're dealing with a series of issues. We had this bombshell abortion issue.
Yes.
I don't know what most people's political views are, but here's the deal: the 19th Amendment gave women the right to vote. I think right around 1921, and the 14th Amendment, in theory, should have freed the slaves, but it didn't, and because we had to pass through the Black Codes and stuff like that. So these laws that were passed, even though they were on the books, they did not automatically equate to rights. Women is the largest population base of folks in the country, right? And so now they passed this draconian law that says women do not have a right to make a decision about their own medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a radical departure in what is contained in our democracy. So we have some right-wing judges that, and then I saw the concurrent opinion by Justice Thomas, I read part of it, where he also wanted to attack things as contraception, same-sex marriage, and things like that.
Yes.
And the one issue he didn't talk about, which was really startling, was the Lovin versus Virginia case.
Yeah, interracial marriage, yeah.
They would, and,
well, come on now.
And he got his that case wife, Janet Thomas,
who, yeah, mm-hmm,
trying to overthrow the federal government. And so if you're going to say that you don't have no rights to that, then that is under the same legal principle as these other decisions were made.
It absolutely is. He conveniently left that one out, didn't he? As he cherry-picked his historical justifications for, yeah, so anyway. Yeah, absolutely. But somebody said, Attorney Lee, and this is something that, you know, I guess none of us will know, but that even though Justice Thomas is alone in what he is saying, he's just saying the quiet part out loud, that probably the majority of the that ideological wing of the Supreme Court feel exactly the same way he does. He's just saying it. And that we may soon see, some of those privacy, you know, those issues and those areas concerning privacy overturned or at least dealt with again as well.
You're 100% accurate, and I think that here's the deal: they knew that Roe would be a bombshell decision, and that it could adversely affect the election this fall. And because in order to win a national election, the majority of the voters in the country are white females, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you don't need to have 20% defection of white females. You only need 5% that votes traditional Republican to flip over to Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
That will win in a national election, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to not bring all these things up at the same time, because you got to remember, in terms of the gay marriage issue, one in six America now are gay, but the thing is, they're also Republicans. There's a lot of gay Republicans and gay Democrats, so, you know, it runs along both political parties. Maybe they're, I'm not sure what the statistics are, but there's probably more Democrats that are gay, but I don't know because I've not looked at the actual numbers yet. But the point I'm making is that we have an important election coming up this year,
mm-hmm,
and so we have to get all our folks out to vote, because these laws that they are pursuing, the current Supreme Court is an active Supreme Court. They're taking up cases that has nothing to do with American life, and these cases they're taking up are so controversial now. The
mm-hmm.
The one they took up about the prayer on the football field.
Yeah. That was so contrived to me. I mean, I'm not against anyone, you know, their right to prayer. But when you read that, the entire, you know, and I sat down and educated myself about it because it wasn't making sense. Then when you read it, you see that there was no reason for that to even get to the Supreme Court. That had no business. The justices had no business taking something like that up. Nothing. No, I mean, because he. Well, anyway, go ahead, attorney.
Well, 100%. That was not a case that should have went to the Supreme Court.
No.
The government employee, and there's separation of state between religious views. And here's the other thing too. Well, what religion are all the kids at the school? They may be Buddhist. They may be.
My points as well. Absolutely. And would this have been such staunch support had it been somebody that was Muslim or Buddhist or see anything other than Christianity? And I'm a Christian. I'm not downing. I'm just saying they're so radically obvious. The Supreme Court is so radically obvious of their, you know, their white fundamentalist Christian viewpoints that it's coming through in living color. I mean, it's just coming through loud and clear. And this coach's consistent refusal to come to a reasonable compromise. He would not work with the school system. He just is like he was trying to make a point, you know, just make it a case. The kids were feeling intimidated. The kids were feeling pressured. It was just there was so much more to that than the school saying. And they didn't fire him. They just didn't renew his contract. So you see what I'm saying? There's just so much more. Firing, renew contract, I guess it's all one and the same, but it's not like a direct action like, hey, you're going to keep doing it, we're going to let you go. You know, we're going to fire you, we're, you know, terminate you. He was not terminated. He simply was not renewed. So I'm sorry, go ahead. That one just got me because I just didn't understand what they were doing with that case anyway. So
when I was in college, I went to a college of trained ministers. And at the time, there was about 300 different religious organizations in the United States. Today, there's 300 and about 9,000 religious organizations in the United States of America,
mm-hmm.
with revenues of about $134 billion, right? But when I was in college, what occurred is that there was like four Christian religious organizations that worshiped snakes. You know, they were snake worshippers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so even within the Christianity scope of the religious, there are some people believe, for example, in the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, and the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some deviation among the different religious sectors.
Right.
So still with religious prayers and stuff, you know, which religion are you?
Exactly.
Which type of Christian are you?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't Jewish. Again, he wasn't Muslim. He wasn't Buddhist. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So with the court, I'm just asking. I mean, Attorney Lee, do you think had it been anything other than what his religion was that the court would have taken that up?
Well, there was a lot more cases that had a lot more merit than that case.
Okay, I got you.
Some right-wing justices on the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. now we know that they made materially false testimony in their confirmation process.
Oh, by the way, speaking of which, not mean to interrupt you, but we're running short on time. Is that, as some lawmakers are calling for, is that grounds for impeachment due to perjury?
It could be grounds, but you could never... you may be able to get the impeachment passed mm-hmm. in the House, but it would die in the Senate because mm-hmm. the Senate would mm-hmm. have mm-hmm. Like 2/3 majority, and that would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you had more Democrats, even if you had like 50, 60 Democrats, all the Democrats wouldn't vote to impeach him because we have in the Senate now, there's two Democrats who are Democrat, but they act more like conservative Republicans at times. And so, and then the messaging, of course, it's just off by the Democrats. And, you know, and so fundamentally, I have some issue with our messaging now, and I'll explain that later.
Mm-hmm. But I want to hear, okay, so Saturday mornings, 11 a.m., what do you have coming up this week?
Well, we don't do the show during the holidays, so we're off this week.
Oh, okay, okay.
On the, I think, the 9th or 10th. And we'll be, July 9th. And it depends on what legal issues are most present. Right now, what we're dealing with is an insurrection where the President of the United States basically ordered a hit on the Vice President. I mean, it's crazy stuff. I mean, I was watching that yesterday between my deposition, and the testimony was so bizarre to me. I mean, it was like we're watching a movie. I mean, I said, this is just astonishing to me that we have a sitting president who sent an angry group of mob people that he's lied to consistently to kill the Vice President of the United States because he didn't want to overthrow democracy. I mean, and he become unhinged and tried to, grab the will. I mean, this whole thing was just so bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the most damning evidence I've ever seen, because now they've directly linked the President of the United States in what is multiple crimes.
And yet and still the Justice Department continues to turn a deaf ear. How much longer do you think they can do that, or do you think that they will walk away from this one as well?
Well, I didn't support the current Justice Department, Merrick Garland. I just thought he was a wrong choice. He was a federal judge, and they should have kept him on the federal judge. There were better candidates. The best candidate that was being considered probably was Doug Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He especially prosecuted the people who bombed that church with those young black kids got killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, senator. But
I don't know why he picked Merrick Garland. I was shocked by that choice.
Well, because he didn't. Merrick Garland, I think, is more of a Republican than a Democrat. And so Obama thought that he would be able to get through the process because, you know, he was very conservative, and they were wrong. The Republicans, they held off, and the Democrats didn't use the same tactic. The Republicans have done a much better job of getting their candidates through the process. They were able to get Amy Barrett on the Supreme Court.
30 days or less, yeah.
Yeah, like 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think Garland is going to walk away, or do you think he's going to be forced? It looks like, I mean, they're putting it right in his face. And to me, I think the calculus, whatever it is, has to change. I mean, because at some point, he has to realize he's comparing apples and oranges, right?
Well, you made a good point, but there's something that he did a week and a half ago that was just idiotic. They presented some smoking gun evidence to show that the President of the United States committed felonies. And so instead of staying in the United States to watch the January 6th commission, he flew to Ukraine to investigate Putin.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I was saying, man, that's got to be the dumbest political thing done, among other things. Now, that's dumb and dumber. I'm thinking, now, why do you think we care about whether or not he prosecuted Putin? Because on TV every day, we see Putin commit war crimes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to Ukraine. He bombed cities, hospital, babies, kids. You know, he bombed everybody. So it doesn't take any investigation. You already got it on camera that he's committed these war crimes. So I'm thinking, you don't need to go to Ukraine. You need to focus on what's going on here in the house here and get something filed. I think that he should have indicted him by now.
So you don't think he will?
I don't know. The political calculus is that you had people that attempted to overthrow the federal government based upon a big lie.
Mm-hmm.
And now the commission has done something that I think was truly masterful. They used all the Republican confidants, Trump lawyers, to say that he was wrong.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure there's more people that the administration felt the same way, because what he was doing was loony tuning, you know, just crazy stuff. And so I think that there's sufficient evidence that's been presented to indict the president and the people around him.
Whether or not Merrick Garland does it is anybody's guess. The Justice Department is anybody's guess. But you still got states like Georgia and even New York to a degree. So something could come as a result of this ongoing criminal behavior that apparently
I'm not a big fan of that prosecutor in New York City. I mean,
Yeah.
I don't understand that. And let me explain why. In New York...
Attorney Lee, let's do a quick... We got to get a quick break in here. Just hold your thought and I'll get right back and then I'm going to let you go, okay?
Not a problem.
Okay, we'll be right back.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
WTOC AM, W224 DI, W236 CR, Indianapolis. It's time to discuss the important topics happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby. Brought to you by Child Advocates. Your voice, their future. On AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And good afternoon. Welcome back to Community Connection. I'm Tina Cosby, joined today by our contributing analyst, James Patterson, and our guest for the hour, Nathaniel Lee, attorney and host of Legal Issues of the Day, heard right here on AM 13, The Light, on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Your next opportunity to hear Attorney Lee and Legal Issues of the Day is coming up July 9th. But Attorney Lee, you're going to be handling some pretty heavy issues coming up, and they all coincide with the start of a number of new laws that go into effect July 1st, day after tomorrow. But excuse me, to finish, go ahead and finish your thought right before we went to the break, Attorney. Attorney Lee, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm still cute. One of the things that we also is that, you know, I'm active in political issues.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big issues that we're dealing with also is messaging, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the Biden poll numbers and their messages is off, and, you know, we were having these video conferences about every week, and I got burned out doing that, but their mm-hmm. messages is off. Like, for example, the budget history, I think, started, what, in 1929. And so between 1929 and 2016, the United States of America sustained a $21 trillion budgetary deficit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in 3.5 years, the Trump regime ran up $7 trillion in additional debt.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
25% of the federal deficit is due one president.
Mm-hmm.
The unemployment rate escalated beyond 10%. Now it's down to 3.6.
Mm-hmm.
There's 11 million open jobs in America and only 5 million people trying to pull them. So mm-hmm. messaging, and then people start talking about inflation and not realizing that what causing that, I thought, was the oil and gas prices and, of course, the supply chain issues, which caused the price of everything to go up. So one of the things we also talk about is messaging, and those are issues that I thought that the Democrats are not properly articulating. And so when you see these crazy things, say Biden is a bad president or Trump is a bad president, they don't really have actual evidence that they're dealing with. They just make an opinion based upon a fallacy. So what we try to do is that we try to provide evidence, accurate evidence that shows what the actual facts are.
Okay. James, I see what you're saying. James, any closing questions before we have to let Attorney Lee go?
Yeah, I was, he's got so much information. I was wondering about, because we had like 10% participated
mm-hmm.
in the primary
mm-hmm. in Marion County.
Yeah. How can that be increased? Because in some countries that, you know, don't have democracies that are 234 years old or whatever it is, you know, they get 70, 80, 90%. How can you get more people to participate in that vote, which was so a terrible price was paid for it?
Well, you know what? You make an excellent point in terms of the question is how do you get people to participate? Well, the first thing that we have to do on a regular basis, we must educate voters in every opportunity. Why does your vote matter? I mean, what matters, for example, if you were gay, they're coming after you. If you were having a problem with pregnancy, in which it was maybe in the best interest of the mother to abort the fetus, they're coming after you. And so there are so many situations that apply to you and your family until you need to take a close look at why you need to vote. We had the passage of this draconian gun law. Now we have everybody goes out and get a gun. At the same time, we have no additional protection in our community. And so this is an important issue, I believe. The more guns we have in our community, I think that we're going to have more shootings. More shootings are going to result in more fatalities. Mm-hmm. And the shooting in our community is the African Americans. We're the one that's dying.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, go ahead, go ahead.
Now, one other thing, too, Ms. Cosby, that's very important, too. I also checked on some statistics. It's not just shooting that's killing us. I forgot to mention this, and I don't want to overlook this. 40% of the people that died this year in Marion County, it's been through drug overdose.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If fentanyl is killing our community, folks. Fentanyl, that little small microscopic amount with laced with cocaine, is just taking out so many people until they can't track it anymore. It's just crazy the number of people that are dying now. So make sure the people out there, if you have kids, don't try those pills anymore. They're killing you.
Yeah. Indeed. And good, very good point. Extremely good point. We need to do an entire show on that, James, coming up soon. Don, you have a question for Attorney Lee, and then we got to let him go.
Yeah, a quick comment. You know, it seems like the January 5th group is trying to pressure the, you know, Attorney General to maybe press, you know, criminal charges. Can you imagine if they were to indict the President Trump, ex-President Trump, what his followers would do?
Well, yeah. They were trying to overthrow democracy and they wanted to hang the Vice President of the United States. We know exactly what they're going to do. They want to hang the Vice President of the United States, so they're violent people. And but on the other hand, if there's one principle of democracy that's sacrosanct that we should overlook, that is that no man is above the law.
Damn, well.
In order to have a free country, we must be a country of laws. And so if you allow one person to usurp the laws, ignore all the laws, then you will mark the end to American exceptionalism. We've had a peaceful transfer of power going back to the days of Washington or wherever. But now we didn't. And so unless there's some accountability, then what is to prevent that from reoccurring in the future? You must be held accountable for things that are so bad for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what people think or do, if he's convicted and thrown in prison, they'll get over it.
Yeah.
I mean,
they'll have to. They won't have a choice. And see, I would rather see them attempt and fail, if you will, rather than not attempt at all out of fear of failure. You know what I mean? At least you're standing up for something. At least you're trying. And this thing of not even trying, you have to try. You have to find something. So, Joseph, last question, and then Attorney Lee has to go, and that is the last question because we do have to let you go. Joseph, go ahead. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You have a question about police stops?
Yeah, I wanted to know, like I said, I know Attorney Lee said if a policeman pulled you over and he wanted to search your car and you say no, okay, can he still detain you without a warrant? I mean, can he, for suspicion, how long can he detain you? Can he still detain you without, you know, if you still say no about searching his car?
Well, the city have policies, procedure. I don't have the specific general, but as a general rule, it must be reasonable under circumstances. And, but if you're stopped, always try to de-escalate the situation instead of, one of the biggest mistakes that drives me crazy is that people get stopped by a police officer and they're called a relative. And I'm thinking, why'd you do that? Why won't somebody overhear what's going on? Bad idea. Turn your cell phone on and record the encounter. Put it on the cloud. That's a better idea. The video evidence is much more powerful than you talk about on the phone because it's hearsay. You're dead. You know, it's not admissible. Mm-hmm. But you need to videotape police encounter. And in our state, that's legal. So that's what I would advise you to do. Try to de-escalate. Always be courteous. And if I got stopped by a police officer, I would never ask the police officer why I got stopped. I was the first thing to say, good afternoon, officer, how are you doing? And I would start the encounter off in a friendly manner, and then they would, and that's kind of the escalate. You know, instead of saying, mm-hmm. why the hell you stopped me?
Yeah.
You know, bad idea.
Yeah. And, you know, just counterpoint to that, Attorney Lee, I have been stopped and smiled and, you know, hi, officer, how are you? And I mean, the officer has come at me just absolutely livid and furious. And I hadn't really done anything. And, you know, what do you mean? How, blah, 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 you know, just, I mean, just basically having a bad day. And, then I shut up and I don't say anything and de-escalate. But, yeah, even if you come at them, you know, sometimes with no attitude, no anything, and haven't really done anything wrong. I mean, I didn't even get a ticket. But, you know, sometimes that, too, can happen. But I love your advice about just keep it, even if a lot of people think, okay, I was nice and he's not nice, so now I'm going to go back in. You know, no, just keep it. Keep it down there. Keep it low. Do whatever you need to do to get out of that situation peacefully and alive, and then deal with it. That's the best you can do, because they're not always going to respond to even the politeness, attorney. And you know that. You and I both, we all, James, we all know that.
Yeah, I wonder, did you put your hands on the steering wheel? I've heard that before. What would you recommend, attorney?
Well, the police expert said that when you're stopped,
uh-huh.
depending on the circumstances, you roll down your windows and you put your hands on the steering wheel so they can see your hands.
Yeah.
But I disagree with what an expert, they were saying you should announce to police officer you have a loaded gun in your car. I don't think that works in most situations.
That's an but that's a good show too, Attorney Lee.
I don't like that tactic. I don't think that I would ever tell a police officer I got a loaded gun in my car. I just think it's a bad idea.
Wow. Well, you know what? Like I said, we'll do that show soon. That's a good one because, boy, there are two clear schools of thought on that one. So there are there are attorneys who would argue vehemently against what you just said. I've heard them argue that way. So
I know, but see, my problem is this. I've litigated this case on what is called qualified immunity all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the qualified immunity doctrine is judicially created. And, you know, I think I first encountered back in the 80s. And basically it says that an officer has immunity from criminal prosecution and civil lawsuits
mm-hmm.
in most situations. And so one of my famous cases was Dave versus City, in which we won at the district court level, and Amy Barrett threw the case out based on qualified immunity, where they based a tortured black kid on 10th Amendment offer and killed him. And so we have the worst qualified immunity law in the whole country. Came out of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And so it goes to the Supreme Court, and we're going to win the Supreme Court because we adopted this Clarence Thomas argument, right? And then Barrett gets on the court. They throw it out because Barrett recuses herself, and so they say they can't hear the case. And the case gets bumped. Now, why I'm telling that story? Because if you say you have a gun in your car, the officer then is on heightened alert. If the officer shoots you, he would say, I was in fear of my life because he had a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And that would give him qualified immunity from civil suit and criminal prosecution.
But if he finds the gun and you didn't tell him, then he says, I was in fear of my life because there was a gun, right? I mean, it's the same thing, right?
But he has to search your car.
Well,
and
yeah.
My idea is that I'm not letting no officer search my car voluntarily. I'm saying, mm-hmm. in all due respect, officer, no, you can't search my car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a right to say that, and then he has to get a search warrant. But the problem is, you're not going to be able to get a search warrant
mm-hmm.
to search your car.
Yeah. Wow. Again, Attorney Nathaniel Lee, host of Legal Issues of the Day, right here on AM 1310, Saturday mornings, 11 a.m. The next opportunity, the next show, Attorney Lee, is July the 9th. You're away on holiday.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So I'm excited to hear what your next show has, what you have coming up. And again, these new laws are going to, I think it's 15, is that correct? 15 new laws going to effect?
There's a lot of new laws, but this, by the way, they're going back into session and they're coming after the abortion issue.
Yeah, they absolutely are on July 6th. And the question is not that they're going to outlaw abortion and completely shut it down in the state of Indiana. It's how far are they going to go? Are they going to go to the point of criminality? And will they offer, additional services for the women who will be in need of it, who are going to be forced to carry these pregnancies to term? So there's a lot that we will be told that we can just kind of see as a result of what happens on the 6th in terms of what they come up with.
What part back, there's sides to this too. Don't forget, when a child is born, it creates a financial obligation for the father also. So it's not it's a lifetime financial obligation to both parents, right?
Right, but that the father's been left out of this for the last 50 years. There's not even been a consideration, nothing at all whatsoever. So the first state to do something like that is going to be groundbreaking, I guess. So, but what are you saying, attorney?
Well, I'm saying that when they're making these ill-conceived laws, they're taking away women's rights. But implicit in that is that it could adversely affect the fathers too. And so my point is that the women who were given the right to vote in 1920 or 21, their abrogation of their rights, they're decreasing the rights of women. And if they do women, guess who's going to be next? I mean, you got to remember segregation, legal segregation.
I think you're not talking about men. You're talking about us black people, right? You're not talking about men or being. Okay, that's what I thought.
I'm saying as soon as if they go after women, maybe we're soft-sighted. We only had the legal decision on segregation just took effect within the last, 70 years?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a long history of having equal rights in the country for African America.
Yep. And to be continued, I tell you, we like I said, we got to get this together. We got to pull a show together on this. Attorney Nathaniel Lee, host of Legal Issues of the Day, right here on the light Saturday mornings, 11 a.m. James Patterson and Nathaniel Lee, thank you both for this segment. We will be right back with more Community Connection right after this.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby from Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers, WeWin.com Studios on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we're back with Community Connection. I'm Tina Cosby here with our contributing analyst, James Patterson. James, Attorney Lee, always, always a lot of food for thought. Very, 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 very engaging show. Very engaging man. A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot
engaging,
of stuff.
Engaging, knowledgeable, has definitely strong opinions on things. And, really a delight to listen to.
Absolutely. But he makes a good point in addition to the... At least there's more than a dozen. I think I read 15, but in addition to all of the new laws going into effect on Friday, this coming Friday, Hoosiers do have to prepare for the special session next Wednesday, the 6th.
Yeah,
the 6th is next Wednesday.
They're going to be taking up
the abortion.
The abortion issue. What was it you said, the inflation?
That check.
Initiative.
That was what it was originally called for. He wants to, he wants the lawmakers to give him permission to, take so much money. I think it's $1 billion out of the budget. or out of the
$225
and give $225. Yeah, $225 to individual taxpayers.
Yeah.
I think that should pass. I don't see any opposition to that. And clearly there will be opposition probably to, well, I don't know. Excuse me. I don't know. There'll be opposition to both. Because there'll be those, that are going to object and feel like there should be more done as far as the economic relief. Mm-hmm. There's still some that feel like it shouldn't be just a check. It should be a check and a suspension, a gas holiday, if you will, a suspension of the state gas tax. There are those who say, it should be a higher check or maybe a series of checks, one, two, and three.
Yeah, recurring rebates. I mean, we have more than $6 billion in the state treasury.
Yeah.
That's
surplus,
a lot of money.
James, that's surplus. And it's gaining interest every single day. It's just getting bigger and fatter every day.
It's a lot of money to be stocking away and sitting on.
We're not in any danger running out of money, even in the least. And so there's that. But, I guess it is a situation of how far the ban on abortion in the state of Indiana is going to go, because there's a lot of states from extreme to to middle of the road with abortion bans. So it's just a matter of where Indiana's going to fall in that.
Yeah, there's arguments on both sides. Both sides are passionate about that. People are, it crosses political, race, and otherwise. There's just emotions on both sides of that. And, particularly people are saying in the case of incest or rape, you've got to make an exception. I think some of the states will do that. There's passion on both sides of that issue.
Yeah, and it's going to be it's going to be interesting. Like I said, I think we can. I know we can expect a ban. It's just to what degree?
To what degree? Whether it includes exceptions for incest, rape, and the life of a mother, which I think should be the number one exception because the mother is already here. Mm-hmm. And so if it saves her life to abort the child, then I would say that her life should take precedence. She's the one that's already here on that. But who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah, who knows indeed. And the other thing he was talking about, and he's going to be doing a series, so please stay tuned to his show on Saturday mornings, right here on The Light, called Legal Issues of the Day. He's going to, he's just going to be doing a series of shows and helping individuals know what to do, how to do, and things of that nature. So, he's going to be working pretty hard on that. And so we have with us now our guest our next guest that we've been talking about, Antoinette Holt, director of the Indiana State Department of Health's Office of Minority Health and the director of the Black Minority Health Fair at IBE's Summer Celebration. Antoinette, welcome back to Community Connection.
Greetings and salutations. I feel like I should be a co-host.
Well, you can co-host anytime you like. You can co-host anytime you like. So. But you are very strategically placed here today because today is an important day as far as getting the information out to people who may want a ride or who will need transportation to day one of the health fair. So let us know what's going on.
Well, I was able to negotiate and broker a deal. So I got our time extended.
What?
To the fourth. Now I know the 4th of July is Monday.
Uh-huh.
But up to the 4th. So that means before you go get your barbecue on the 4th, make your reservation and then go get your barbecue and all that other stuff. But yes, it is going to be up to the 4th. So far, I wanna again thank FSSA, and so we're going to use taxis, which would be Z-Trip. Sokoa's Ways to Go program is going to be providing vans. Free Enterprise is going to have the charter buses to certain areas, and Indigo is going to be providing us free passes and things for this event. So we, again, are just thankful, and we want to make sure people reserve their spot to get free transportation. Now, Tina, that's a luxury ride. You get it from your door to your door, where you come, you take advantage, $6 worth of free screenings and different things. Get back in your lovely taxi or the bus or however you got down there and make it on home.
Wow. And how good are you to get that extension? Because, you know, through the entire show, James, we've been talking about the deadline is tomorrow. The deadline is tomorrow. Yeah. But the deadline has been extended through, what, midnight of the 4th of July?
Monday.
Get there. I mean, you got to do the 4th of July no later than that early. I hate to tell them early morning the 5th because, you know, some people will press that.
Mm-hmm. So people will take as long. Yeah, some folks will take as long as you give them. Yeah, as long as you give them.
I just want to make sure that they get their stuff. I know if you do it by the 4th, we're safe. And you will call the number that we've given before, and I can get you that. And then Patty, who I appreciate, Patty Bailey, down at FSA, is taking care of everyone there. So, again, you want me to? I can give you the number.
Okay, yeah, Ethan and I are both anxiously.
Ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Go ahead.
317-232-1731.
And this is the number to call for
senior transportation.
See, Ethan says it's already on our website, senior.
All right, well, look at that. See, that's because Ethan's on it.
Yeah, well, always. Seeing the transportation. they can call 317-232-1731. And all they have to do is just give their name and address. And it doesn't matter where they live or where they are, they can get there, right?
Got to be within the, in the circle as far as 460, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Patty will work it out, whether you'll go through the transportation that FSA is giving or FCOA. Going to do it or different things. She'll direct you as far as what's needed, and then they'll give you more information on that way. But it's simple and easy process. I think we're already at a good number right now, which is great, but I don't want you to be left out. So don't forget to call the number. If Patty doesn't answer, leave a message that is for senior transportation, and her or someone on her staff will get back to you.
Okay, dokie. All right, Antoinette. Thank you so very much. Again, 317-232-1731. And this is for Thursday night only, correct?
It's for Thursday night only for the senior transportation or those with disabilities that need assistance.
Right, right. And what are the hours of that the transportation will be available?
To get you earlier because the opening ceremony that day is at 3:00. So I think they're going to start out around 2:00. They'll make those reservation times for you, depending upon when you're trying to come down. We operate 4 to 8 for the health fair that day.
Mm-hmm. But the rides will be available from 3:00 until when?
3:00 until they'll make sure you get home. Nobody's going to be left behind.
Yeah.
Tina, Miss Antoinette, did we want to ask her, do they screen for allergies? We had a caller way back. At the beginning of the show, we were talking about...
Oh, yeah. Thank you, James. You are so good. Thank you. I forgot about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, do they screen for allergies? Is that part of it?
No, they're not doing allergy tests. We will, though, certain entities will have ask a doctor a question on site, or they'll have, like, maybe community may have Jane Pauley there, or different things to where possibly they can make an appointment or they can give them further information on if they do need to do screening on allergies. But we don't have anyone directly on site doing that type of screening. I apologize for the noise in the background. I stepped out of a meeting outside.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they can ask a doctor is what you're saying, and then perhaps
there'll be different networks there, and they can ask them in regards to, you know, because we just don't want you to come to one and done. If you need a physician or you need a medical provider, we'll be able to provide you information in that. But in that process, I'm sure you'll be able to ask, what do I need to do, or can you refer me to who I need to go to?
Yep. Okay. Good answer there. Thank you, James, for remembering that, because I sure, and I've got it right written down right here, and I'm looking at it, and see, that's why there's two of us here instead of
James is a good one, too.
Yes, he is, indeed. Well, Antoinette, thank you so very much, and we will see you on your next visit with us. And
yeah,
Pardon?
I said, all right, I look forward to it.
Yeah, that's coming up next month. And you have a wonderful 4th of July holiday weekend and do whatever it is that you do. I know you'll be working because you always work through this holiday because it's always leading up to the Black Minority Health Fair.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
Indeed, indeed. All right. Take care, Antoinette. Thank you so much.
Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye. You too. And again, that number, Antoinette was gracious enough to be able to get an extension. So the deadline is no longer tomorrow, but Monday. But here's the thing. Get your ride reserved as soon as you possibly can. 317-232-1731. 317-232-1731. That is the number to call for Thursday nights.
Door to door, right?
Door to door to door. Yes, 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 yes. Thursday is July 14th. That will be the day. Thursday, July 14th. 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. is when the shuttles will be running. The health fair is going to be open from 4 until 8. Okay? So, yeah. So there we go. Anyhow, so James, wow, covered a lot today. But I think I was asking you what your we were talking before Attorney Lee got on the call about what the amazing revelations from yesterday at that hearing. And I was curious to see who the surprise witness was going to be and what the surprise testimony was going to be. And I have to agree, I don't always agree with all of the analysts, but I have to agree with a lot of them, is that tremendous pressure. They're putting the screws to Merrick Garland. They are.
He's really under a lot of pressure to do what he should do as the top prosecutor in the United States. Cassidy Hutchinson, the aide to former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, was a very believable, credible witness. This 26-year-old woman, you know, I mean, this is really a defining moment in her life. Here she is up at the Capitol, the top aide to Mark Meadows, Chief of Staff, and, you know, she is thrust into this, in many ways, national deal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, it's really a very important role that she had there when she heard all that stuff. And she must have thought, they're not telling the truth. They're just lying. He's just lying. The former president's just lying. I've got to stand up and say something and do something. And she really, to me, she really stood up. She's to be really applauded, that young, in her mid-20s, and knowing she's going to take this heat for standing up and telling what she saw and heard, which is, you know, giving the January, it just fuels more of their investigation. Not a witch hunt, as Fox News is saying, but just trying to get to the bottom of who was responsible for this incident.
Yeah, you don't, there's no hunting involved. Yeah. This stuff is all right out here in the open. So anyway, there's that. And again, the, you know, we've got a lot to look forward to, including the 4th of July holiday weekend, James. We want everybody to be safe, and you made a good point. It's very dry, one of the driest Junes that we've had in quite a while. I know this because we haven't had to have our grasses cut. You haven't had to cut the grass. We haven't had to cut the grass a whole lot. And usually April, May, and June, I mean, you're out there every other day, it seems like, cutting grass. But it, in fact, not only is the grass not growing, it's turning brown. It's turning brown.
And Tina, I was wondering, too, if you saw that story, as long as we were talking about the news that happened this weekend about this, I guess you'd call it a peace. What's this guy? It's a peace. His name was John J.B. Barnett, and he was found shot to death at a gas station on Saturday.
Peacemaker. Yes.
25th and
Keystone's over on 25th. Keystone.
Yeah, 34th and Keystone.
Yes.
And to me, the police officers, you know, I wish, you know, we had Attorney Lee to comment on this. I didn't think about bringing it up then, but this should be their, I mean, they should put all of their, the mayor should insist that they put all of their, because this is a man, a peacemaker, trying to keep peace. And he is killed Don't know if it was related to his piece work, which he wasn't doing at the time.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't on the job
right.
at the time.
He had done it the day before. But he was clearly marked, targeted, you know, for assassination, and he was killed. This John J.B. Barnett. They should put all resources to send a message to these people who did it that, hey, if you want to shoot each other, that's fine. But if you shoot a peacemaker, we're really going to go after you.
Yeah. You know what? I think that that's lacking just in general. Somebody just throwing down the gauntlet and saying, that's enough. And there was, where was it? Somewhere where they just, somebody sent me that text message. I think it might have been Chicago. I'm not sure where police just, you know, for 24 hours, they just rounded up, you know, a child had been shot. It was a little girl or little boy had been shot and killed. And the police department said, that's enough. And so they rounded up every drug dealer, gun, whatever, for 24 hours. It was just a blitz. And they said they've had it. And they, I'm trying to find it right now.
But that's what they need to do in this.
But that's what's missing here in this city is like enough. And I don't care if, you know, okay, come after me or what have you, but somebody, people need to feel like somebody is fighting for them and somebody has had enough of what have you. We don't need more, you know, another meeting, another statistic, you know, of what have you. They need to hear, at least feel. You know, when those things are emotional, at least to
feel.
That
the heat is on them.
That the heat is on them and that something is being done. Those arrests that were made, oh, gosh, where is that? Where is that? Where is that?
You know, that's what, while you're looking for it, Attorney Lee said that Indianapolis, you know, unproudly has one of the worst homicide solve rates in the country. So much more needs to be done. I mean, peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
I keep wanting to call him a peacekeeper, a peacemaker.
Peacemaker, yeah.
Being shot to death.
I'm trying to find who sent me that, but it was really impactful, and I was like, there are folks that are probably going to complain, oh, the civil rights and this and that or whatever. Okay, at least something was done.
You know, sometimes you have to get the rights ruffled because you've got to find the person who did that. Mm. That's what people want. They want to see, like you just said, progress being made, going after people who are just with impunity. It's like, I'm going to take them out. I don't care. Yeah. I'm not going to, you know, the chances of me getting caught are less than 50%.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Mayhem, go ahead. Last call of the day. Go ahead, Mayhem. You got it. Last call. Is he there? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, yes, you bring up some good points. The peacemaker, straight bullet, shot and killed him. They don't know who it is. Usually when you see regular shootings, you get it on tape. Somebody shot at the juvenile center.
Yes, that was at the juvenile center, too.
Somebody
shot through a window.
Yeah, what James is talking about, the conspiracy in the neighborhood, well, you can tell when, you know, black on black, there's an argument, somebody gets shot, you'll see the person on tape or whatever. But like James said, there and a couple of people called in, they said they really can't prove it, but we know there are strange people in our neighborhood committing crimes and shootings and trying to make it seem like it's people
black
of color. There are people inside our neighborhood, Proud Boys and this and that, because the neighborhood is being gentrified. Strange shooting, because we keep on saying black neighborhoods. Where you're talking about where the peacemaker got shot at right there, right before you get to, I forgot, Sutherland.
34th and Keystone, yeah.
Yeah, that's being gentrified now. They're redoing all the sewers and all that stuff, and then a lot of houses are being redone. So it seems like every time our neighborhood is being gentrified, right before it's gentrified, it's always so-called high crime. But, only the people in the neighborhood really know what's going on, and I think it's going to be up to us because you call the police to a scene, to a crime, somebody breaking in or somebody trying to break in your house, they don't do anything. They only go to murder scenes. And like the lawyer said, over there also, the most deaths are overdose. And the neighborhood is mixed now, but you only see, especially 59, dealing with crimes, black people. 46218 got a lot of white people over there, got a lot of Hispanic, got a lot of other nationalities, but you only see us. Yes, that is a conspiracy because that neighborhood is being gentrified. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. And I do believe, James, correct me if I'm wrong, Attorney Lee's number that he gave was at 40% of African-American deaths of young black males are is drug overdose with fentanyl. So that's not
yes.
the but it's competing with.
Yes.
Not the most. It's not the most. So it's competing
but
with.
It's competing with. And that's saying something.
That's saying that's something. And you know, up to 40% is really, really scary. But, James, that's all the time. That we have for right now. We're gonna have to get on out of here because Ethan's got a whole lot of. We blew through a whole lot of commercials today, so he's got to catch
up. That's a good thing.
That is a very good thing. It's an extremely good thing. So, but anyway, we will play it by ear and you know, in terms of when we'll be back. But certainly, we're always right here on WTLCA, and we'll be back tomorrow. Of course, y'all. We're going to be back tomorrow. 1310, 92.7 FM and 95.1 FM, The Light. Don't forget about our website, praiseindy.com. You can follow us on Facebook. On Twitter, we are at Community Indy. Willie Moore Jr., James on the radio is up next.
Your nephew.
Yeah, nephew is just flat out my nephew. All right, kinfolk. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, James, for joining us.
Yes.
Again, we're back tomorrow. Until then, everyone, please be safe and be well. Be COVID-19 careful as well. For James Patterson, I'm Tina Cosby, and this is Community Connect.